of thanksgiving, trusting God more fully, telling others about Jesus, and taking time to be with Him as we thank Him. The message for today is growing in grace. And that kind of really brings it all together, because it's by God's grace that we have the things that we have that we can thank Him for, right? Amen. Amen. And so it's by God's grace that we are saved. It's by God's grace that you and I are sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also by God's grace that you and I can serve. Serve the Lord and serve others. So we want to take a look at in God's Word about what it means to grow in grace. Diane Furrow, one of the writers for today's Christian Women's Magazine, she wrote this little article about grace, but she used an illustration from her son. Her little son's name was Evan. He said, "When my son Evan was 3, we started a bedtime ritual of singing Christian songs. He particularly liked Amazing Grace. One day I was driving and he asked me to sing a song. When I asked Evan which one he'd like to hear, he responded, 'Well, you know, Mom, that song about the amazing grapes.'" Well, I'm sure his heart was right. It's not about amazing grapes, but you know, sad to say, when it comes to grapes, well, no, when it comes to grapes, for a lot of Christians, it's a lot of sour grapes. This is what I mean. For a lot of Christians, it's, if you will, it's salvation was the event in their life, and that's it. And so they have that distant memory of the salvation experienced by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 2:8. And then from there, they look ahead and they look forward to heaven in the future as a means of escape. Escape out of this sin-cursed world, escape from all the ails and the ailments of life. And so they're between two things, if you will, a distant memory of the past and grace back there, and then a future reality of escape and grace in the future. But what about in the center? They either have not learned, or maybe they've never been taught about that wonderful, amazing, abounding grace of Jesus Christ for all of life in between. In between the salvation experience and our presence with the Lord in heaven. Have you learned about that amazing grace? As I said, this message this morning is really a kind of a summary of what we have been following through and giving thanks. Because it is by God's grace that we have everything, that we are what we are and who we are by the grace of God. So grace is a very important part of our life every day. It's not just some distant past event, an experience of salvation, or some future escape from where we are now, but it's a daily living in the fullness of Christ, grace upon grace. Join with me in prayer right now, okay? Father God, we want to thank you for the grace of prayer. Lord, that we can come before you knowing that you are our Heavenly Father because of Jesus, our Savior, your Son, and the finished work of Christ on the cross when he died for our sins and shed his blood that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Victory over death, so we no longer have to be held in bondage in the fear of death. We have that victory in Christ, and we can live in the power of his resurrection day by day, grace upon grace. Father, we pray, even as you have graced us, Lord, with your word, and how freely we have received it, O Lord, we pray for his effectual working in our hearts, our lives, right now, as individuals, as children in your family, as members in the body of Christ the Church. May you be glorified as your word that we hear. May your spirit apply to our lives, that our lives will be pressing on in that transformation that your grace brings to us every day through Christ. I ask this, Father, and together we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Growing in grace. Are you? Or are you groaning? Or are you groaning? Well, you have that verse before you there in on your outline from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter brings the summary of his second letter to this application. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grace. Some have told us, well, the definition of God's grace according to the Bible, or in the Bible as it's being used, is God's unmerited favor. Yes, it is certainly all of that. But it's so much more than just God's attitude or disposition toward you and I because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, it is the unmerited favor of God, but it's also the action, the power of God at work in our life. Take a look, if you will. We have a definition. Could both words in the Old Testament and the New Testament that represent grace mean the same thing in the life of the believer, both in the Old Testament saint as well as in the New Testament saint today? That loving and merciful activity, not attitude only, but more than an attitude, a disposition that God has toward us, but an activity of a holy God towards undeserving sinners like us, like you and I, that gives us, now look at this, it gives us the desire, the power, and the resources to come to him, to Jesus, by faith, and live the new life he gives us in Jesus Christ, his Son. We live by God's grace through Jesus Christ for his glory. John begins his gospel about Jesus and the importance of Christ's mission to bring salvation to this world. John begins in the introduction to introduce Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on down in verse 14, which you have in your outline before you. And the Word became flesh. He's talking about Jesus. And dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, and from his fullness we have received, what? Grace upon grace. Talking about that amazing grace that we sing about. Many sing about it, they hear about it, they say about it, but they fail to live it. That amazing and abounding grace of Jesus Christ, experiencing the fullness of Christ's life within us every day by his grace. And living and growing in that grace. Grace upon grace. The grace life, as you see there in your outline before you, begins with receiving and knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's where it begins. For each and every one of us. For every man, every woman, every boy or girl, to experience that grace upon grace in Jesus Christ, it begins with receiving and knowing him as Lord and Savior. Take a look at John chapter 1, verse. You have that verse before you. I'm trusting. Are you going to be trusting with me right now? I'm trusting God's effectual working of his word in our hearts together as a church family this morning. That's why the sheet that you have is so filled with the word of God. I believe in God's word, don't you? I believe that God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. I also believe that God's word works effectually in the lives of his people to bring about that ongoing work of grace in your life and in my life. So I'm trusting. I ask you to trust with me in God's word right now. Take a look at John chapter 1, verse 12, 13. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. You see, this amazing and abounding grace of God in Jesus Christ is really the beginning of our birth. By our experience, if you will, in salvation. Let's go on, if you will. Another verse that you have before us, just to show us the importance of that new life. And if you're not living that new life, that abundant life in Jesus Christ, you can start right now today. This is not a message of judgment. This is a message of encouragement, brothers and sisters in Christ, to live that fullness of grace, grace upon grace. So we're not living between two poles, if you will. The past experience of salvation and the future experience of heaven as an escape and nothing in between. But there's so much more. So much more. Amen? Right now. And so, his divine power, there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. You see, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior means that we've begun to know him. Not know about him, but we've begun to know him. And so we grow in that knowledge, like any relationship that's intimate and personal, and the relationship that we truly desire and love, we grow in that knowledge of him. But we also grow in that grace And we really see in the fullness of Christ, our wonderful Savior, is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Every day, grace upon grace. That phrase, grace upon grace, is saying the superabundance of grace that you and I have. Well, let's take a look and see how that superabundant grace works in your life and my life and our life as a church family. Because it does. Because God intended to do just this. First of all, this grace in which we are commanded to grow in, it's a saving grace, if you will. Now, I know, well, I'll tell you, I don't know how your computer is, but my computer can't spell a letter. Okay, so you have in your outline before you, it's not recused. We're not talking about playing pool, okay? What we are talking about is rescues, okay? So saving grace, the saving grace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace upon grace, would you correct that? It's rescues the lost sinner from the penalty of sin. A very favorite passage of yours and mine, I hope it's your favorite passage. If it isn't, I hope it will be today. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith. Faith in who? Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the object of our faith. And this is not your own doing. What do you mean? I can't work for my salvation? No. Jesus Christ did it all. It's a done deal. We have to receive and believe in him. Amen? And his finished work. He goes on to say, it is a gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, that's saving grace. That's saving grace. You see, grace. Grace is like a, if you will, it's like a diamond. It's like a diamond with many facets. Different size to it, so it catches the light and it's a brilliant glory, if you will, to shine through. Well, grace, God's grace, has many facets and many functions in your life, in my life, and in the life of the church today. And so we're going to be talking about three of those functions: the saving grace of God, the sanctifying grace of God, and the serving grace of God in the life of the believer, in your life, in my life. You see, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved by grace through faith in him, you are his workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You really are. And so we want to take a look at that amazing, the abounding grace, grace upon grace in Jesus Christ. How does that work out? How is it fleshed out in your life and in my life? How is it fleshed out in the life of the body of Southbound Bible Church? You see, the church of the body of Christ is living. It's breathing. To bring glory to our Father. Amen? Not this building, but this body of Jesus Christ should be overflowing with his grace. Because that's what God intends. Not that we become sour Christians. Not that we live in disgrace, but that we live in the abounding and the amazing grace of God. So take a look with me as we look at God's word, if you will, and it's right there in your outline before you. This grace in which we are commanded to grow in is a saving grace. That's where it begins, rescuing lost sinners from the penalty of sin. You see, and we have in your outline before you, a number of biblical thoughts. We want to think biblically, right? I'm tired of thinking like the world thinks, aren't you? Or are you? God wants us to think biblically. And when it comes to his saving grace, his sanctifying grace, his serving grace in the lives of his children, he wants us to think biblically, not as the world thinks. So thinking biblically about the saving grace, the abounding saving grace in Jesus Christ, first of all, as you see before you, saving grace is coupled with faith. Because we're saved by grace through what? Through faith. Enabling us to trust in Jesus Christ. You see, without God's amazing saving grace, you and I would still be dead in our sins. You and I would not believe in Jesus Christ. You and I would not repent of our sins. But if you're born again, you need to know and rejoice in the fact that God's saving grace brought you to this place, to that position in Christ. You see, God's saving grace coupled with faith in Jesus Christ brings about that new birth, that new life. But there's something else in your outline before you. Saving grace is making us new creations in Christ Jesus. We have that wonderful verse, I'm sure you remember that verse in 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and he's using the word anthropos, if you will, as in a general sense. So it's men and women. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new what? Go on, say it louder than that. Come on. They are what? They are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what saving grace does. It makes us new creations in Jesus Christ. You know, this is so important that when the believers in Galatians started mixing up the gospel with religious rituals and traditions and everything else, Paul had to write to them a letter to admonish them as well as instruct them. And he was saying, look, you're getting so wound up in tradition and religious rituals and ceremonies and everything else. What really matters is a new creation. And you know something? That's true for you and I today. What really matters today is that you're a new creation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what saving grace does. Aren't you glad? Yeah, I hope you are. Because I sure am. I tell you, God's saving grace. Now take a look, if you will. Saving grace empowers us now to walk worthy of the Lord, as we see also in God's word. It says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what God wants us to do. But you know, that saving grace at work in your life and my life enables and empowers us to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, glorifying him. That's what that grace does. And go on, if you will. Saving grace is God working in us to do his good work. We are his workmanship, created unto good works that God has ordained before. But he wants us to participate in those good works. And the only way you and I can participate in those good works is availing upon that grace of God that enables and empowers us to do just that. For it is God at work in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do you believe that? I do. I hope you do too. Because that's what that amazing and abounding grace in Jesus Christ does in the life of the believer. And then we have something else here. Saving grace makes us fellow heirs. Fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. As Paul reminded the believers there in Rome, as he wrote to them, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. God doesn't want us to be in the dark. Are you in the dark if you're a child of God or not? I pray that you aren't. If you are, you should know it, so that you can become a child of God. If you are, rejoice. Because God's saving grace was at work in your life, making you not only a child of God, but also a fellow heir, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You see, beloved, that's what saving grace does. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. Oh, but we'll work out of joy and grace. Amen? Yeah. And so we have, if you will, the saving grace of God that makes us fellow heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think of that. In Jesus' infinite riches and wealth, he became poor so that you and I, impoverished because of sin, can be made rich through his grace. You see, that's what saving grace does. Aren't you glad? Are you saved? Are you saved by that saving grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ? Well, let me tell you, if you are, you'll know. If you are, you'll know. And if you aren't, you won't care about it. Unless the Spirit of God is working in your heart right now and stirring you to know that you're not born again. You've only been talking the talk and have no grace to walk the walk. You see, so that question for you, for every one of us here, have you been saved by God's saving grace through faith in Jesus Christ? If you are, you'll know. If you aren't, it won't matter to you. Unless God is speaking to you right now through his word, by his spirit. Let's go on. Sanctifying grace. That's another facet of that beautiful gem called grace. Another, if you will, another function of God's grace, not only to save us, but also to sanctify us. Now, I know, you know, when you go to Perkins or Robbins or any, when you talk with your friends or family, how many times does the word sanctification come up in your conversation? Huh? Not a whole lot. When somebody calls you, you know, a long distance call, how many times do you, in that conversation, do you use the word sanctification? Not often. But we see it used many times in the Word of God. Now, I know sanctification, that one passive definition for sanctification, you probably heard, and I've also used it. Sanctification is being separated unto God. How many have heard that as a definition of sanctification? Being separated unto God. We need to put another end to that, if you will. Even putting another end to it is still passive, but let me give you the other end. Sanctification is being set apart unto God for His use and for His glory. Okay? But that still doesn't tell the whole story. You have the whole story on your sheet before you. Let's take a look at that. It is being set apart unto God for His glory and for His use. But notice, if you will, sanctifying grace transforms and redeems a believer from the power of sin to live the new life pleasing to God. Amen? So it's not just some passive work, but it's God's active work in your life and my life, and that's sanctifying grace. And that we are to respond to that. As he says in Philippians chapter 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God that work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. So you have God's part. And boy, He's working His part. Aren't you glad? And through His Son, Jesus Christ, you have grace upon grace. I have grace upon grace. We have grace upon grace. Our part is to respond to that grace. Like Paul said to the Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then he goes on to say in the next verse, and I will not nullify the grace of God. What does he mean? Well, what you and I can do also, we can disregard the grace of God. We can deny the grace of God. We can leave it over there and not allow it to work in our lives. Paul said, nuh-uh, not me. I will not disregard the grace of God. I will not nullify it. That's what we're talking about this morning, beloved. If you've experienced the saving grace of God in your life through faith in Jesus Christ, you will also experience another facet, another function of God's grace. And that's the sanctifying grace of God. Yes, to set you apart for God's purpose and glory, sure, to be sure. But it's also far more active than that. It's where God is at work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Our response, don't nullify the grace of God. Our response is to respond openly, obediently to the work of God's grace. And that's what we're going to be looking at right now. Okay? For the grace of God has appeared. There in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Take a look at that verse. Let's allow the Word of God to effectually work in our life, okay? For the grace of God is appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control. Well, I need that. Do you need that? You need self-control? Hey, have a problem with anger? Do you have a problem with a foul mouth? Do you have a problem with bad thoughts? Well, we need self-control under the Spirit. Okay, let's go on. Upright and godly lives in this present age. You know what he's done here? Paul, in writing about the sanctifying grace of God, he begins with the very person of Jesus Christ. He begins this verse here. He says, the grace of God has appeared. God's grace has always been. Even in creation, we see God's grace. But he's saying here, and he's personalizing, the embodiment of God's grace for you and for me is found in Jesus Christ, the person. That's why he begins with Christ, because the grace upon grace is for us through Christ alone. So take a look, if you will, in your outline. Jesus Christ is the embodiment and the endowment of this grace that sanctifies us, that transforms us, that changes us, and makes us able and willing and desiring to live a life that is pleasing to God. You see, that doesn't come natural. It takes a supernatural grace of God to work in our hearts. And that's why we struggle. Do you have that struggle? Do you? Well, praise God. Praise God that you have that struggle. If you didn't have that struggle, you're dead in your sin. I mean, let's be frank. Right? I don't want to be dead. Do you? So thank the Lord you have the struggle, but understand the reason for the struggle and the victory that you and I can have in that struggle. And that's in the person of Jesus Christ, who has become unto you and me, our Savior, grace upon grace. Yes, the saving grace of God. Don't leave it back there. Bring it in here. Sanctifying grace. He will make a change in our lives, in our thoughts, in our speech, in our relationships. Go on. So sanctifying grace brings us up and trains us in godliness. It's interesting. The word that Paul uses here, that the grace that has appeared to all men brings salvation to all who will believe, trains us. Another translation has disciplines us. Now sometimes we need to be disciplined and chastised, but the word discipline means also training and instructing. But you know the word here that Paul uses? It's a parenting term. I love it. It's a parenting term. You know, you don't sit around just beating your kid all the day, do you? Huh? Our Heavenly Father doesn't either, okay? It's a parenting term. It's to bring them up with instruction, with nurture. Yes, with discipline. You see, that's where the sanctifying grace of God through Jesus Christ our Savior every day of our life, right now, not just back then. Brother, if you're heading down to an experience back then, and you're heading for the future of heaven, and you're just living a passive, a non-life, you've missed the boat. And that boat is called grace. That boat is called grace. And it begins with the saving grace of God at work in your life, but it doesn't stop there. It's a sanctifying grace of God that transforms us and changes us into what God has said, you're my workmanship. You're my creation. Boy, I woke somebody up, didn't I? Anybody back there get woke? Raise your hand if you did. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Sanctifying grace also strengthens and empowers us in our weaknesses. That's what Paul says. He says this, in his weakness. And he prayed, Lord, remove this weakness, this thorn in my flesh. It was a weakness. We've all had weaknesses. Every one of us are weak. Every one of us needs the strength and the power of God. And he does this through his grace. His grace. Say it together. He does this through his grace. Yeah. He really does. And so he reminded Paul. He said, Paul, I'm not going to answer that prayer the way you want me to answer, but I'm going to answer it the way you've never begun to understand, but you will now. That in your weakness, my grace, not saving grace, sanctifying grace, my grace is going to make you strong. You see, it's that sanctifying, transforming grace of God in your life and my life that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can say with God that I know that God causes all things to work together for good. The loss of a job? Yes, even the loss. I've lost jobs. Have you? Loss of health? I've lost health. But I know my Father is faithful and truthful and gracious. And he says, like he said to Paul, whatever weakness we're going through, whatever difficulty we're going through, whatever loss we're going through, his grace is all sufficient. Amen? Yeah. Aren't you glad? Sure am. Yeah. Okay. So sanctifying grace strengthens and empowers us in our weaknesses. Sanctifying grace, in your outline before you, sanctifying grace brings our new life to Christ, in Christ to completion. Paul could say it, you and I can say also. Because Paul was only saying what God told him. And what God is telling you and me today. And you can have that same confidence because God's grace upon grace in His Son, Jesus Christ your Savior. I am confident of this thing, Paul said, that He who hath begun a good work in you, and it is a good work because it's a gracious work of God, that He will bring it to completion. That word completion is teleos. Bring it to perfection in Christ Jesus. Well, what do you mean, Bill? Well, I mean this. If you experience God's saving grace, you are now experiencing God's sanctifying grace. And what He said, He's going to bring about in your life. That you will be transformed into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what God has begun, He will perfect. You see, that's why sanctification isn't just being set apart unto God for His use and glory. It's also that sanctifying work of His grace, transforming our lives to be more and more and more and more like who?
Jesus.
Like who?
Jesus.
Like Jesus. John says it a different way. We have grace upon grace. Are you being sanctified by God's sanctifying grace? Are you? You know, if you are, you'll know. If you are, you'll know. There won't be a big question mark. But if you're not being sanctified by God's sanctifying grace in your life because Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, if you're not, you won't care. Unless the Spirit of God is stirring your heart right now this morning with His Word. You say, Lord, I want that. I want that transformation. I need to be changed. I need to become more like Jesus as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a member in the body of Christ here at South Mountain Bible Church. Serving grace. So far we've had what? Saving grace, sanctifying grace, serving grace. Another facet that we can look at, such as grace giving, grace speaking, but serving grace enables and empowers the believer to serve others for God's glory. It takes God's grace to serve. Because you know the people you're serving. Sometimes you don't like them. But you know, by God's grace, you can be grace, and you begin to not just like them, but you begin to what? Oh, no, not that. You begin to love them. Yeah, that's what grace does. You see, God's saving grace brings us into God's sanctifying grace and begins to change our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, not only towards God, but towards one another. And so that the serving grace that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 4 can work wonderfully in your life and in my life, in the body of Christ, so people who are not in Christ begin to say, whoa, wait a second. Those two ladies, they used to be enemies. Now look at how they have compassion for one another. That guy over there, he really despised that guy over there. Boy, he really hated him. I can remember them going through high school. They were enemies. But look at them now. Wow, what happened? Grace. Grace. Amen? Yeah. Serving grace is demonstrated in the use of spiritual gifts. That's what Peter says. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied what? Grace. Grace. Serving grace is demonstrated in the use of spiritual gifts. Everyone has a spiritual gift or gifts. Serving grace is God working in us and serving others. Grace, serving grace is God working in you and me and serving others. Because sometimes we don't want to. Have you ever been there? All of a sudden there's a need. Yeah, I hope someone else does it. But you have that work of God's Spirit within you. And He's saying, no. No, child, it's your turn. And I'm going to give you the grace to do it. Amen? Yeah. Serving grace is God's working in us and serving others. Serving grace through Christ gives us confidence to serve. That's exactly what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. How does God manifest that sufficiency through his Son in your life and my life? Through that serving grace. So that's why Peter said, be good stewards of the very grace of God, that you would serve as God wants you to serve. Go on. Serving grace brings glory to God through our service. Peter says that it would bring glory to God. Are you serving by God's grace? Are you? I don't mean sitting by God's grace. We have no problem doing that. And none of us do. I don't have any problem sitting. I have no problem sitting by the grace of God. Do you? Okay. But are you serving by the grace of God? Are you? There's some things that only you can do that God will do through you for his glory and for the benefit and blessing of others. I guess it comes to this. If you're not sure, let's go back to the first facet of grace. Are you saved by the saving grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ? And in your heart of hearts, in your soul, you say, yes, Bill, I am. His Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Then the next question, are you being sanctified by the sanctifying grace of God in your life? Well, yes, Bill, I am. Praise God. Then the next question, are you serving through the grace of God? Again, if you can't answer that question, you probably really don't care. Unless God's Spirit is stirring your heart right now. And you're so grateful and thankful for the abounding grace of God through Jesus Christ, your Savior, that saved you and is sanctifying you, that you love him so much, you want to serve others in his name. Amen. Yeah. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your grace. Your abounding and amazing grace to us in Christ Jesus, your Son, who has by your grace become our Savior, our Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you by that grace upon grace in your fullness. You've enabled us to believe and to repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in you. Lord, guide us now, we pray, that your word will continue to effectually work in our lives, that we will experience all the more and so much more to experience of your grace and the abundant life that we have in you. May we not just live from post to post and being nothing in between, but may we be all that you intend us to be by your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.